الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا، وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وإذ قالت الملائكة يا مريم إن الله اصطفاك وطهرك واصطفاك على نساء العالمين. Was Mary عليه السلام a prophet of God or a prophetess or indeed a female prophet? This is a question that has been asked by a number of scholars in Islamic history, both scholars within the Shi'i school and outside of the Shi'i school. Indeed, outside of the school of Ahlul Bayt, you'll find scholars such as Bukhari, such as Ibn Hazm, and others who have asked the question that Mary, with all that she accomplished and all that she achieved and her lofty position within the religion of Islam, could have possibly been, or in some cases conclude, that she was a prophet of God rather than just being of a high level amongst her people, or a chosen female with the highest level of spirituality. She without a doubt is seen in the eyes of certain scholars as being a prophet. Normally, of course, for some of the scholars in our community, this was hard to digest, let alone for some members of our community. You find, for example, that some members of our community, in their eyes, a marja has to be a male. Forget a prophet or an imam. A marja, they say, can only be a male. Even if a male or a female both go to study in Qum, for example, or they both go and study in Najaf, for example. Imagine you have, for example, a male and a female who enter Najaf at the age of 16. One of them does the Muqaddamat, the other does the Muqaddamat. Another goes on to Sutuh, a second goes on to the Sutuh. A third, they go on then to Bahth al-Kharij, and the female goes on to Bahth al-Kharij. The same text that the male studied at the beginning of their studies in Najaf or Qum, the female studies at the same time at the beginning of her studies in Najaf and Qum. For example, at the beginning they'll study Nahu and Sarf and Balagha, and study some of the introductory books on Hadith, study something on Tafsir. Then from there study theological texts of the likes of Allam al-Hilli, for example, or Nasir al-Din al-Tusi, or Sheikh al-Saduq, or Sheikh al-Mufid. And from there, both the male and the female go on to study, let's say, books of fiqh and books of usul al-fiqh, studying the works of the likes of Shaheed al-Awwal and Shaheed al-Thani, and for example, Sheikh Murtada al-Ansari, and then go on to study other works of principles of jurisprudence. You'll still see that the male eventually will emerge as a mujtahid, and the female will emerge as a mujtahida. But the male can go on to becoming a marja. But you never hear of a female marja. There are in our community some who believe that a female can become a mujtahida, but not a marja taqlid. Someone says, but why? If both of them have done Najaf and Qum, and both of them have studied the same books, why is it that we have, for example, a grand marja who's a male, and you can't have a grand marja who's a female? So if you look at it, therefore, in our communities, what are the reasons that they give? They say, for example, a female can never lead males. How can then Maryam be a prophet when you find in our community, if it's a scholar of law, they say that a female can never lead males. A female can never lead males in salah. Society is a patriarchal society. Therefore, in a patriarchal society, who's going to let, for example, a female lead? It's always going to be a male. If you look, for example, at the prime ministers of the country that we live in today, the prime ministers of the country that we live in today, who are they? They are mainly going to be male figures. We may have had a couple of female prime ministers in the last 50 years. But more often than not, you'll come across leaders who are male. So they say if normal politicians in countries are mainly male, then how do you expect Maraja to be female? And on top of that, how do you expect Allah's leaders on earth, who are the prophets or who are the messengers such as the Rusul, to be females? They have to always be males. And of course, in the Bible shows us that there were prophetesses or female prophets. In the Bible, yes, you have male prophets in the Bible, but you have also at the same time the female prophets in the Bible. So if you look in the Old Testament, you see Maryam is mentioned as a female prophet. Or you see, for example, Deborah is mentioned as a female prophet. And then there is a prophetess who is also discussed. And then in the New Testament, Anna is mentioned as a female prophet, or is believed to be a female prophet. And Jesus also reprimands in the New Testament a particular lady who was claiming to be a prophet for the people, but was guiding them maybe to immoral sexual acts or to sacrifices by the idols. But in the Bible does not deny that amongst the thousands of prophets Allah sent, you may have a female prophet. Why is it only males like Nabi Dawood or Nabi Sulaiman, or males like Nabi Ibrahim and Nabi Ismail? Why can a prophet not be a female? A lady who is of the highest stature. In reality, if I was to ask all of you listening at home, and all those who are sitting here, if I was to ask you, what do you normally associate with a prophet like a Nabi or a Rasul, a messenger? Normally you'd associate that they must have a sort of miracle associated with them. Yes. Either they may perform a miracle or they may warn you of a miracle. That they are a sign of God. Yes. That they are, for example, truthful in their tongue. Yes. That they are those who are able to communicate with God through angels or through dreams. Isn't that how you define prophets generally? That they must be truthful, a sign of God, perform a miracle or warn of a sign of a God or warn of a miracle of God. And that they must be able to be in communication with either God or the angels. Isn't that how you normally define a Nabi? Because if I think of the stories of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, I think of a dream. And I think of him in his dream, recognizing that this is a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that famous dream when he tells his son, Ya bunay inni ara fil manam, anni azbahuk, fandur maada tara. Or Yusuf has dreams. And these dreams are a sign of revelation, which indicates that he is a Nabi. So if all of these are the signs, what if Maryam ticks all these boxes? What if the Quran, when talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus, ticks all the boxes that you associate with Yusuf alayhi salam, or with Ibrahim alayhi salam, or with Sulaiman alayhi salam? Then why don't you call Maryam Nabiya, for example? The question, therefore, was debated by many ulama and is still a subject of discussion today. That was Maryam only a high, spiritual, virtuous lady, or was she one of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let's tonight seek to dissect this so we get a clearer picture on the central debate concerning this issue and make sure that we have not committed an injustice or a dhulb towards the mother of Jesus alayhi salam. And I'd like to do this in the following stages. Number one, what does a Nabi even mean? Where does the word Nabi come from? And does the Quran give us some sort of indication? Number two, What are the differences that may exist between a Nabi, for example, and a Rasul, for example? Number three, if the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are a sign of Allah, who have miracles and are truthful and communicate with the angels, did Maryam do all of these? And if she did them, where does the Quran mention that she went through all of these? And if she went through all of them, then how can we deny that she is a prophetess? Number four, what are the arguments of those who say she cannot be a prophet? How do they bring sociology as one of the arguments, where they say society will never allow a man to be, a woman to be the leader, must be a man? Number five, which ayah in Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah 21 of the Quran, indicates that the prophets of Allah are all men? And is this the ayah subject of discussion? And number six, and of the utmost importance, Maryam achieved all of these in her life. Which lady in the life of the Holy Prophet achieved a lot of similarities with Maryam and maybe even more? Let's examine this and dissect this topic in complete depth. If you ask a Muslim, what is a Nabi? They say to you, Prophet. Say, no, but explain to me, what's Nabi? I have to go to the etymology of the word Nabi. I want to see what's the root of the word. That will give me a greater understanding of what Nabi means. If you look in the Quran, can you see certain derivatives or certain roots related to the word Nabi in the Quran or no? Are there, for example, certain roots or certain derivatives within the Holy Quran? Yes. I look, for example, there's a surah of the Quran. What's that surah of the Quran called? The surah of the Quran is called Naba', an ayat, which surah? 78 of the Quran. You see, the surah is known as Naba' in Juz' Amma. That surah in Juz' Amma is a fundamental surah. And it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Amma yatasa'aloon, an al-Naba' al-Azim. And Naba' here is what? They ask questions over the great news. Naba' is this great news. Therefore, associated with the idea of Nabi is a particular khabar, a particular piece of news, zoom. A particular piece of news that is associated with who? With that particular prophet. Even that word Naba' and its derivatives can be seen where? Can be seen within the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Tahrim, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Tahrim tells us that the Holy Prophet divulged a secret. He heard about his wives telling each other a secret which he had divulged, which wasn't meant to be shared. So when the Holy Prophet gave this secret and made it clear about the secret, what do we find? We find that the Quran says, فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَهَا. Yes. Then she says, مَنْ أَنْبَأَكَ. Notice, نَبَّأَهَا, أَنْبَأَكَ, نَبِي. All of it is related to a particular khabar, a particular news. But then someone will say, Sayyidina, I also have news. I've got news, for example, that the Champions League semi-finals is not far. I've got news that the Champions League quarter-finals are on half an hour away and will be straight after this majlis. I've got news, for example, that the Premiership semi-final is this weekend. FA Cup semi-finals are this weekend. I've got news. The difference is that the Nabi is somebody who is such a lofty spiritual position who bears that khabar or that news to mankind. Yes? So therefore, either the Nabi can keep the news to themselves, or that Naba' is to be shared with everybody. Sometimes there is a Nabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give a particular news to that Nabi, and that Nabi, his conversations with God remain between him and God. That Nabi, the news that God gives him, the info that God gives him, the knowledge that God gives him, may stay with him. Unless God then asks that Nabi to go and preach it. Preaching it may come in two ways. May come in a way with a risala or without a book. If it comes with a risala, like the Bible or the Torah, then you may refer, for example, to a Nabi being a Rasul. Every Rasul is a Nabi, but not every Nabi is a Rasul. Every Marja' is a Mujtahid, but not every Mujtahid is a Marja'. So if a person today says Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he is also Rasulullah, true? But if I say, for example, I might come to somebody, maybe, let's just say, maybe somebody like Nabi Idris alayhi salam, I don't normally associate a Risala with Nabi Idris. Therefore, a Nabi, the question we're asking today, was Mary a Nabi or Nabiya? Was she a prophet? She definitely was not a Rasul. In the sense of which definition? In the sense that she did not come with a Sharia to give to the people. Nor did she go out and preach her message to the people. But is there a chance if the idea of Nabi or Inba or a piece of news which God decides to give you, which you don't always have to tell the people, you can keep to yourself, your communication between you and God, for you to be an exemplary figure, is there a possibility that she was a prophetess rather than being a messenger? Because sometimes people do not make the differentiation between the two. Some people say, Maryam was no way a messenger. We agree. She's not a Rasula, for example. She is not someone who had a Risala with her. Even the Ulil Azm, how many are they? At most, Nabi Nuh, Nabi Ibrahim, Nabi Musa, Nabi Isa, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Outside of that, there aren't many who came with Risalas. I don't mind if someone says that Maryam alayhi salam was what? Was not a Rasul. But to say she's not a Nabi, why? If a Nabi has news from God, a Nabi gets communications from God. You know, some people define Nabi as someone whose communications only come in dreams. Some have these definitions. You look back and you say, well, what if Maryam's communication with Allah is not through dreams, through an angel? So if number two, Maryam talks to angels, if Maryam alayhi salam is purified, a Nabi must be ma'soom. Do we agree? A Nabi must be ma'soom. What if Maryam is mutahhara and is purified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What if Maryam talks to angels? What if Maryam is truthful? Don't we say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was sadiq al-ameen? What if Maryam turns out to be of those who are truthful? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Nabi Isa, and all of them were anbiya who were an ayah, a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What if Maryam? If you look in the Quran, it is very difficult for a person not to conclude that Maryam alayhi salam was not a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look in the Quran, someone says, how? You said to me that Nabi is one who receives revelation from the Lord, or is one who receives communication from the Lord. Did Maryam alayhi salam receive communication from God? Of course she did. We see in the Quran that God sent the Malaika to talk to Maryam. Did Jibreel talk to Maryam? Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in Surah 3 verse 42. وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ. I ask you here, how can Maryam not be a prophet when the Malaika are talking to her? Quran says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ. هُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَالِهِ. What's his name? One of his titles. Muhammad al-Mustafa صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَالِهِ. الأنبياء المصطفين, they are all chosen. Yes. They have a miza that is above all those around them, attributes above all those. In one ayah, Maryam moves from being a normal, spiritual, virtuous, great lady to being a lady who Allah is saying, I communicate with. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. When a malaika go and visit you, you can't be something like just saying that you're a normal lady. وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ. The first proof that Maryam is a Nabiya or a prophetess or a female prophet, what's the first proof? Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent angels to speak to her. I ask you, wallah, if this was Nabi Yusuf, people are like, yes, Nabi Yusuf, mashallah, he's a prophet, angels speak to him. If this was Nabi Ayyub, people say, yeah, of course, Jibreel visits Nabi Ayyub. this was Nabi Ibrahim. Nabi Ibrahim, angels, of course, they're honored. They want to come and tell him about Qawm Lut and Sodom and Gomorrah. They want to come and visit Nabi Lut. Nabi Lut, of course, he's a prophet. Why all of them you call prophets and not Maryam? Why with all of them we call them prophets, but we don't call Maryam a prophet? When Maryam, Allah is saying in the Quran, وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ. Al-Mustafa is not somebody normal. Al-Mustafa is somebody who Allah has seen that in his creation, Safwa al-Shay' is something which is distilled from something. From all of these creations, that which was distilled, or she who was distilled as the best of Allah's khalq, was her. Now you tell me, a Nabi is normally defined as the best of God's khalq on earth. So therefore, on number one, if Allah communicates with you, and later even in her story, she blatantly talks to Allah. Anna yakunu li ghulamun, or anna yakunu li waladun, walam yamsasni bashar. Oh Allah, how can I have a son when no man has touched me? When she's talking to her Lord and saying, how is it that she knows that me and my Lord, our Wi-Fi is the best connection. We have the strongest connection. We talk openly to each other. Tell me if Nabi Ibrahim talked so open, Nabi Ismail did it, Nabi Dawood did it, wouldn't we all say, of course, Nabi. Nabi can talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when she says, "Anna yakun li waladun walam yamsasni bashar," no, a very great lady. The first point, therefore, a Nabi, normally Allah communicates to them either in dreams or in wahi, or Jibra'il appears to them. The first point why Mary is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to certain ulama, was what? Was of the fact that Mary, Allah communicated to her. Secondly, anbiya are ma'sumeen. Don't we agree? Of course, we the Shia tend to be very strict when it comes to our definition of ismah. Other schools in Islam, even when it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, they'll say in revelation he is ma'soom. In his private life, he might make some mistakes. You'll hear this. You'll see that some people will say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is ma'soom. In revelation, in wahi, he can never make mistakes. In his private life, the odd moment where he gets angry and frowns at a blind man, until today I'm mystified. When I see people look at the ayah of the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, abasa wa tawalla, an ja'ahul a'ma. He frowned and he turned when the blind man came to him. I ask you a question. If you saw someone blind in the street walking towards you, wouldn't you help them? Okay, say that blind person accidentally interrupted your convo. Would you frown at them? We all have a soft spot for someone who's physically challenged. There are some who came in Islamic history. It was normal for them. Abasa wa tawalla an ja'ahu al-a'ma. They said Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi frowned at the blind. Whereas we say, no way, this is not. And someone might show me the odd Shia'i opinion on this issue. Majority of the Shia ulama will clearly always say that this has absolutely nothing to do with our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. Am I going to deny that there were debates between Sheikh al-Saduq and Sheikh al-Mufid and others such as Ibn Junayd and so on about levels of isma at different intervals? No, there were questions as to what levels of isma people reach, whether sahu can affect certain parts of the life of the Holy Prophet. Those debates are there. But we say that our Prophet, peace be upon his family, is ma'soom. Nabi Ibrahim, ma'soom. Nabi Musa, ma'soom. Why? We say, anbiya. Anbiya, Allah taharahum tatheera. The anbiya have been purified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Maryam, the Quran says, is she's purified, would you call her Nabi? Wait. Musa, Nabi. Mutahhar, purified. Isa, mutahhar. Rasulullah, innama yuridu Allah liyudhhibankum ar-rijsa ahla al-bayt wa yutahhirakum tatheera. What if Allah says Maryam is also one of ayat al-tatheer? Someone says, Sayyidina, ayat al-tatheer is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and Imam Ali and Fatima al-Zahra and Imam al-Hassan, Imam al-Hussain alayhi wa sallam. I said, no, wait. That's called ayat al-tatheer because it mentioned they were purified by God. We called them all ma'soomeen because of it. What if Maryam Allah calls her purified? Does he? Yes. Again, Surah 3, verse 42 of the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ. The one who is purified by Allah, how can they not be a prophet? Someone says, yes, but she had no sharia. I'm not talking Rasul. I'm talking Nabi. Inba, a Naba, which comes to somebody that they can keep to themselves, or it could develop into tashri'. We're talking at the moment on the simple basis of one who receives news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ. Therefore, taharaki is a sign of a prophet, because prophets are purified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, number two, of the proofs that Maryam was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not a rasul, not a messenger, a nabi or nabiya or prophetess or female prophet, was that Allah had purified her. Third proof that she is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is it? Is that prophets are always the most truthful of their nation. True? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. We are all proud to say he is as-sadiq and al-ameen. That he is the most truthful and the most trustworthy. Before he was public, and notice this point I'm about to say. Before he made his naba open, notice, you could be a nabi whose naba is in you until one day you reveal the naba. Maryam could easily be classed as someone whose naba stayed within her and wasn't revealed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, before he announced the naba that was with him, I ask you all, Arabia loved him because of these two attributes, wasn't it? Never once would they ever say that he has uttered a lie. They used to call him Sadiq, because he never used to utter a lie. And not just Sadiq, Amin. Why Amin? Even his enemies used to leave their possessions with him, even though they hated him. Because you always knew that the possessions that were there will always come back to you if he's safeguarding them. Even the night of Hijrah, when he left with the Fawatim and they went towards the land of Medina, he left with them. They went to Medina, he told Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, you have a couple of responsibilities. What are they? He said to him, one responsibility is that I'm leaving the Fawatim with you. Fatima al-Zahra, Fatima bint Asad, these you bring them with you to Medina. Second, some of my enemies have left their possessions with me. Subhanallah, that sentence sounds crazy. Some of my enemies have left their possessions with me. Why, Ya Rasulullah, they left? Because obviously you are Amin. Even if we don't like you, you'll give us back that which we've entrusted with you. And subhanallah, Imam Ali alayhi salam made sure that he went to those enemies of the Holy Prophet and he gave back their possessions back towards them. Rasulullah Saddiq. How many anbiya in the Quran we hear? Saddiqan, Nabiya, Saddiqan, Nabiya, Saddiqan, Nabiya. Many times you hear anbiya, kana Saddiqan, Nabiya. If now Maryam alayhi salam is described as Saddiqa, what would you do? Surah 5, verse 75. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa ummuhu Saddiqa. And his mother is a truthful person, or with a truthful tongue. You look at that, and you see it, and you're thinking, hold on, if that was Yusuf, we say, Nabi, of course, he's Saddiq, Nabi Yusuf. Yusuf, ayyuha Saddiq. Straight away, we would believe it's a Nabi. Why, when Maryam is called Saddiqa, people don't want to push that she is a Nabi? That's number three. Number four, we go further than that. A Nabi has to be an ayah of Allah on earth. Yes. A Nabi is the sign of God on earth. Why do you think the people of Ad, or let's say the people of Thamud, for example, people of Thamud, why were they punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabi Salih told them, not only is he a sign of Allah, but Naqa, the camel of Salih, was a sign of Allah. That sign of Allah is what? That sign of Allah is to be honored, is to be looked after, is not to be damaged. Prophets of Allah are signs of Allah. They are a sign God has given us for guidance. The best example, the people we follow. So if Maryam is called an ayah, what do we do? Surah 21, verse 91. وَجَعَلْنَاهَا هُو وَوَلَدَهَا آيَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Her and her son, وَابْنَهَا آيَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Her and her son were a sign to mankind, without a doubt, that her and her son remain signs for mankind, that mankind would look at. Normally people would say, yes, Nabi Isa is a sign. Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَاهَا, we made her آيَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Not just her son, not just ibnaha, walada, no, rather her as well. She is a sign also. So that's another proof. Normally if someone said Nabi Ayyub's a sign, you say, must be, of course he's a Nabi, he's a sign. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa, of course he's an ayah. So why when Allah says that we made Maryam an ayah for the worlds, will someone not conclude that she's a prophet of God? Another sign of a prophet. Musa has miracles, true. We said the stick became a snake. You agree? The stick became a snake. Musa has miracles. You see, for example, when you come to Nabi Isa alayhi salam, of course people believe he's a Nabi because he could cure the blind and the sick and the leper and so on and so forth. Now, when you came towards Maryam alayhi salam, does Maryam have any miracles or no? No miracles whatsoever. For the love of God, when you have fruits of the summer in the winter and fruits of the winter in the summer sitting in front of you, and Zakaria says to her, where are all these from? She says, where else? Min indillah. Tell me, how confident must you be for you to say min indillah? Yarzuqu man yasha. Allah gives sustenance to whoever he pleases without any limit. When she talks like that about fruits, this food, because he's baffled. Maryam, how did you get this? How are there these fruits in the summer, which are winter fruits? Fruits of the winter, which come to you in the summer. How? She said, from God. Simple. If you have that much confidence in something from God, you're not a Nabi. Malaika talk to you. Miracles are around you. Forget the miracle that's her son. Inna Allah astafaki wa taharaki wa astafaki ala nisa'il alameen. Allah astafa twice in one ayah. That she is the one who is chosen as being the lady who carries the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary. Yes? So all of that, she's an ayah, saddiqa, she speaks to angels, all of that knowledge, all of that spirituality, then how can she not be a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's why you find amongst the non-Shia, there are some who concluded that she definitely was a prophet of God. Amongst the Shia, there are those who said, if you look at Nubuwa as news which can be kept and news that becomes tashri', then she could be classified in the first section, not necessarily in the second section. But then amongst the Shia, there were also those who rejected all of these opinions. They said there's no way that Maryam could be a prophetess. She was a high lady. A spiritual lady, a virtual lady. She is of Sayyidat Nisa al-Alameen level and stature. When Allah says, Astafaki taharaki astafaki ala Nisa al-Alameen, she's of a very high stature, but not an Nabi. Say why? Say because society wouldn't allow for a lady who's a female, that lady for her to be a prophet, society wouldn't allow. In one way, they could have a point that there were certain societies which may have been very patriarchal in structure and would never allow for a female to reach that level. But if you look at Maryam, Maryam doesn't actually become at the helm. Many prophets never achieved political power even. Yes, many prophets did not achieve political power. Number two, Maryam, we can still see that before her there may have come leaders who were at the helm of countries, they were females. In the Quran, the queen of Sheba, Balqis, was not after Maryam. Balqis wasn't for a person to say, well, patriarchal wouldn't allow any females. Balqis, the queen of Sheba, became the head of her nation. She competed with Sulaiman alayhi salam. With Sulaiman alayhi salam having one part of the world, Balqis has the other. Until Nabi Sulaiman and Balqis met that one fine day when Nabi Sulaiman asked Asr bin Barqiyah to bring the queen of Sheba's throne and the queen of Sheba came. Did anyone complain about the queen of Sheba being a female at the helm? No. So why is it, if a female could be at the helm in the middle of those societies which were meant to be patriarchal, why is it that Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, could not have chosen her? Remember, we have 124,000 prophets. How many of them do we know their names, really? Really. Hissa, add the Quran, add the world of the Ahadith. How many do we know their names? I don't know. 50? With Quran and Hadith? Outside of the Quran, you might hear of the odd prophet Daniel and the odd prophet Imran and the odd prophet, for example, Hizqel. How many do we know their names? Why isn't there a possibility out of 124,000? Some of them may have been females. Another argument against the idea that Maryam is a prophet of Allah is Surah 21, verse 7 of the Quran. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ. What does the Quran say? The Quran says in Surah 21, verse number 7, that we did not send before you except men who we revealed to. This is a very strong verse at the end of the day, and it's very hard to compete with this verse. If the Quran says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا, we did not send before you except men who we revealed to. Of course, then the debate can open up on the instances where Rijal can also be men and women, and not only referring to men. Most of the time, yes. If you see Rijal and Rijal, قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَى. Look, there's a clear variable between Rijal and Nisa. But sometimes you may have traditions where Rijal can refer to the males and the females of a community. But most people will use this. Yes, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا. We did not send before you except men who we revealed to. And therefore, they said that no way could Maryam be of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the prophets of Allah, look at them. Adam, male. Noah, male. Abraham, male. David, male. Solomon, male. Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael, male. All of these, they say, are males. Why would Allah suddenly want to break it with a female? But this female was no ordinary female. That's the point. This female, Allah has mentioned tathir for her, ayah for her, saddiqah for her, ma'ajiz for her. If all of these are in one person, why would somebody not at least give the idea or a possibility that she was there possibly to break those boundaries that have existed, where you will find that that female can reach the highest level ever. We mentioned yesterday, Maryam compared to Asiya, Maryam compared to Khadija alayhi salam. But Mary Thirlkill wrote a book, which all of you should try and read. It's available on Amazon. She wrote a book called Chosen Among Women. Yes, Mary and Fatima. She said, if you want to see two ladies who have immense similarities and are the highest in spirituality than Maryam with Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. You look, for example, at the similarities between them. Amazing amount of similarities that exist between these two ladies. You have, for example, today, the Christians will talk of a rosary bead which they associate with Mary. What do we associate a tasbih with who? Fatima al-Zahra, tasbihat al-Zahra alayhi salam. People say Maryam gave birth to what? Maryam was the one who gave birth to a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She sure did. She gave birth to Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Did Fatima al-Zahra give birth to a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? She gave birth to four wonderful signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She gave birth to Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, to Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam, to Kulthum alayhi salam, and to who? And to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Maryam, in Christian belief, Mary, her son was crucified by his own community. Likewise, Fatima al-Zahra's son was crucified by his own grandfather's community. The similarities are so many between the two, but there's a difference. What's the difference? The difference is Mary was never pushed behind a door. Yes, Mary died a natural death. She returned back to her Lord at a very young age. She died a natural death. Whereas the difference with Fatima was what? Was that Fatima died young, yes. But Fatima died of injuries at a young age. Maryam did not die of any injuries, yes. Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam died of injuries. Injuries that would continue to affect Al-Muhammad one by one. You look at the masaib of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, and what does it tell you? It tells you of the effects, the heartbreaking effects of what took place for al-Muhammad with what had been inflicted. Maryam, according to some, would never leave Fatima. That's why they say that when Sayyida Khadija alayhi salam was giving birth, everyone left Khadija alayhi salam. Everyone left her. Arabia left her. But who came to be alongside Khadija when she gave birth to Fatima? Allah allowed Maryam alayhi salam. Someone says, this is extreme. What do you mean Allah allowed Maryam alayhi salam? Allah can allow anyone from the world of Barzakh to come into our world. Sometimes our parents who've passed away have come into our world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed Maryam, and He allowed Asiya. He allowed those great ladies who have come before to attend the birth of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. They knew that Khadija was alone. They knew that Arabia had neglected Khadija alayhi salam. They knew that Arabia had not looked after Khadija alayhi salam, so they made sure they were all there so that Khadija had these ladies alongside her. Fatima al-Zahra, when she was born, she realized years later that Arabia had neglected her mother, and that Arabia had left her mother, and that Arabia was not even around to look after her mother because of their hate towards her mother and their hate towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. She never believed the same Arabia would leave her alone. That after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi died, not only did they leave her alone, but they attacked her house. Not only they attacked her house, but they attacked her miscarried baby behind the door. Not only did they cause a miscarriage, they attacked the rib of the holy lady when she fell on the floor. Washing anyone's body is difficult, but to wash the body of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and the daughter of Khadija is even more difficult. And that's why for Amir al-Mu'mineen, the washing of the body was his most difficult moment. The narrations mention to us that one moment he left the body and he sat in the corner of the room. Asma bint Umayyah narrates, she turned around and she said, I looked towards the Imam and I saw his head between his knees. I said to him, you're the one who lifted the gate of Khaybar, but I see you broken at this moment. What is it that breaks you in this way? His reply breaks all of our hearts, not just in Fatima, but every day. He said to Asma, don't blame me. As I was washing the body, my hand came across the broken rib of Fatima. That janaza was a difficult janaza. It was difficult. Why? Because now those children, they have to bid farewell to their mother, yes? Fatima bid farewell to her mother Khadija. Fatima was only 5. Can you imagine how Zainab felt bidding farewell to her mother? She was only 5 as well at that time when her mother died. Zainab bid farewell to her mother's body. Imam al-Hasan, who was 8, bid farewell to his mother's body. But for Aba Abdullah, this moment absolutely broke the Imam. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen asked Aba Dhar, he said to him, remove Hussein from the chest of his mother. Aba Dhar later asked him, he said to him, Mawla, why? Why is it that you said that? For what reason? The Imam said, because Jibreel came to me. Of course, the same Jibreel who came to Maryam, why could he not come to Amir al Mu'mineen as well? Jibreel came to me and said to me, remove Hussein from the chest of his mom. Why? Because the angels could not bear to see Hussein on the chest of his mother. I asked them just this one question. If the angels could not bear to see Hussein on the chest of his mom, how did they bear to see Shibar on the chest of Hussein? How did they bear to see Sinan walking to the body of Aba Abdullah? How did they bear to see the horses all over his chest? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Raise your hands, my dear brothers and sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us with Muhammad al-Muhammad. Ya Allah, raise us with Sayyida Khadija alayhi salam. Ya Allah, allow us to be amongst those who receive the intercession of Sayyida Khadija alayhi salam. There are many of you who have asked for the du'as for their families, for them in compelled situations, difficult situations, stressful situations, with their personal life, with their domestic life, their business life, with their children. Let's all come together on this night and recite the verse of the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amman yujibu al-muftar idha da'ah wa yakshifu al-soo. All of you at home, raise your hands. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ ويكشف السوء. Ya Allah, we ask you in the name of the illness that befell Sayyida Khadija and Fatima Zahra alayhim as-salam. On this night, Ya Allah, cure all of our loved ones, Ya Allah. All of our difficulties, Ya Allah, remove them from us. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam Sahib al-Asri wa-Zaman. Allow us to be amongst his companions. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the Surah Al-Fatiha for your marhumi and all of our marhumin and the marhumin of the originators of this majlis, but before it, the loudest of your salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi.